Y'all are a beautiful people. I have sat in my study all afternoon and just fought to tears. I told my wife before I left home, I said, I hope I don't get up there and break down. And Lord, here I am. Ooh. Y'all, I preached a message this morning about you. You ever sat in a church and been preached about somewhere else? Well, you was this morning. You see, 9 years, 10 months, and 12 days ago, y'all was at a men's conference on a Saturday night, and y'all was praying for me.
Yes, sir.
I ain't forgot that. And I ain't forgot you. I love you. I saw old Whooper in the Mexican restaurant the other day, and I don't know, something just come over me. As I started to walk away, and I just turned around, I said, Whooper, I told you lately I love you. I'm not skipping this opportunity to tell you tonight that I love each and every one of you. I appreciate each and every one of you. Message I preached this morning was about the paralyzed man that had four friends who tore the roof off the house and lowered him down before Jesus. That man was hopeless on that mat. So was I. And y'all prayed and y'all prayed and y'all prayed and y'all prayed and y'all kept pushing and y'all kept giving Jesus no matter what. And praise God. Come here, baby. Come here. What was broken, God restored. Amen. Now, I know that's the hands and the work of Jesus Christ. I know that. But it's also the hands and the work of what you guys did, of what we do when we get so fired up with the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit inside of us that we don't care what gets in the way, that we go after the ones who are lost and we help Jesus bring them unto his realm. He's called us to bring people to him. I love you, baby. It didn't only bring that back together, but y'all, we got four little old grandbabies running around now. And praise the Lord, I'm in the same house to get to see them grandbabies. Brother BJ, when you called me, I'm gonna preach here in a minute, but I got to reminisce for a second. When you called me the other night and asked me to preach, I knew that instant what I was preaching. But ever since then, I have been remembering moments that led to this moment. I remember the first moment I met you, Brother BJ. You was coming down the gravel road, and Riley Cagle said, here come Brother BJ, and I have my old red Jeep out there. First time I ever met you. I said, who's that? He said, that's a preacher. I said, oh, man. Because I weren't no Christian then. I said, oh, man, here he comes. And I'll never forget, he got in that Jeep with me, and we rode up one of them little old bitty banks. And then we turned around, we went back off of it, and he white-knuckled that baby, and he said, whoa, whoa! Hey, y'all know he's a little timid. The next time he come to my house, he gave me one of them little pocket crosses. And I never knew that that moment would lead to this moment. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. What's been on my heart tonight is remember what the Lord has done for you. Remember what the Lord has done for you. Church, when I look out amongst these people sitting here today, I remember the time when Crystal and I walked into this place some 10, 12 years ago. I don't remember. But I remember when we walked into this place and we saw a perfect people. I said, man, they got it going on. Man, those people, oh, why can't we have a marriage like that? Why can't we have it going on like that? And then we found out y'all were just a mess. But you was a mess following Jesus. And that's what we were missing. Man, I cannot tell you how much that I care for you people and love you. I look out across this room, and I see people that have gone on to Beulah Land. what they meant to me. Oh, but for the blood. But for the blood. I remember Miss Mavis sitting in the back, and I'm not going to take this very far, but I remember Miss Mavis sitting in the back, and oh man, she'd just cry out to the Lord. She just loved the Lord. Man, the memories that have popped up in my mind leading to this moment since you called me. I remember a time when the church was getting so packed and so full, and we was like, what are we going to do? And there was a piece of swamp land sitting over here that couldn't nobody purchase because nobody would sell it because they weren't in the business of selling land. And lo and behold, look what's sitting here now. What God can do. Don't ever take your eyes off what God can do. Don't ever take your eyes off what God has already done. And going to do. He ain't finished yet. He's not finished yet here, but he's not finished yet saving souls either, Brother Tony. He ain't finished yet. He's in the soul-saving business tonight. Church, there's something that's going on in the churches today. It's called complacency. I pray you don't get complacent. I pray you don't get complacent. It's on my heart. We're going to be in the book of Luke if you want to go ahead and turn there tonight. Luke chapter 19. And I am honored and to stand behind this pulpit. The last time I stood behind this pulpit, I was preaching my licensing service, and I thought I was nervous then, but man, I guess I got some excitement nervous tonight, amen. I'm just a man that loves the Lord, that's it. That's all I am, is a man that loves the Lord. We're going to take a little trip with Zacchaeus tonight. You know, in life, we don't know the whole story. You know, we can look back and we can see people who come to know the Lord Jesus. We can look back and see little tidbits of their story, but we can't see the whole picture. So we just have, sometimes we have to open up our that little imagination in our minds of what it might have been like to be Zacchaeus and live his life and to see the things that he would have seen. And I pray tonight that you'll take a little journey with me and go into a journey with Zacchaeus tonight. And what's going to happen tonight is you're going to see yourself in some of this. Folks, Zacchaeus saw some things that we've experienced. He saw some things that brought fear into homes. He saw some things, possibly, if you use your imagination. He saw some things that would have brought just chaos around, but he also saw some things that was only handled by the hands of God. Let's read in Luke chapter 19 and see where the Lord leads us tonight. It says in Luke chapter 19, it says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was of little stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, 'Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house.' And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully." Father God, we love you. And Lord, I just thank you, Lord, tonight for this opportunity to share your word. And Lord, I just pray tonight you would hide me behind the cross. And Lord, just speak through me tonight the words that need to be spoken. Lord, the words that would touch hearts. Lord, the words that would wake up the soul, Father God, to praise you even more than we already do. Father God, to awaken something inside of us, God, that would put us a fire down in our souls, that would revive us to the point where when we leave this place that people could say they must have been around Jesus or something, for something's changed in our lives. Lord, we're here tonight for revival, and the only way we can have revival is if you sit down amongst us and you sit down with inside of us and let you sit down on us and we accept what you pour down into us. God, I pray tonight that you revive this church. You revive each and every heart and soul that is amongst us tonight. And Lord, if there is one soul that is here that is unsaved, Lord, I pray tonight that you pull on that heart. You tug on them strings. You do not let them sleep until they, you don't let them get no rest when they go to bed, but you let them worry all night long until they come to know you, Lord. But God, we put it all in your hands tonight. God, I pray you knock me out of the way and you speak to the people. Speak to me tonight, Lord. And Lord, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I love this story about Zacchaeus. I love it. I love it. I love it. There's so many stories in the Bible that just really draw my attention to, but this is one that really draws a point out to me and brings it to life in reality of myself. It tells us here that Zacchaeus, he was a chief among the publicans, and he was a rich man. He was a rich man, but he was missing something, amen? He was missing something called Jesus. Let me tell you something, church, you can have all the money in the world, and you will not be satisfied, for the money will run out. You'll see that as we go into this journey together tonight. You'll see that the money is not enough. You'll see that fame and fortune is not enough. You'll see that your heart and soul longs for Jesus. It says in verse 3, it says, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was. Why would Zacchaeus seek to see Jesus and who he was? Let's take a journey together. Would you mind taking a journey with me tonight to see what made him want to see this Jesus? We know that Zacchaeus was a publican. That means he was a rich man. And let me tell you something, he must have been a crooked one because he says he was rich. He was a man that would have been one who would collect taxes. Anybody like paying taxes? You better put your hands down if you raise them. Ain't nobody in here like paying taxes. Well, didn't nobody like paying taxes in these days neither. So Zacchaeus, when it come time to collect taxes, he would go from door to door. And he went to a house one day, and when he got to the house, and when he got to that place, and the weeds had grown up in the flower bed, and the grass was all just grown up, and just looked like snakes would be everywhere, and the hinge was hanging, the screen door was hanging off the hinge, and when he gets to that place, he goes up and he knocks on the door, and a woman crawls up, and man, you can tell that she's been run through the mill, and you can tell that she's been worried, and you can tell that she's been tired, and you can tell she's just been sick of it and fed up with it, and she's over with it, and he knocks on the door and says, "Ma'am, your taxes are due." Little rugrat come running up, didn't have no shoes on. Looked like he'd been a little hungry. She said, "Mr. Zacchaeus, I ain't got your money. Mr. Zacchaeus, I ain't got no money. You see, something's come over my husband, and he ain't been here in months. He ain't held a job down in years. And I don't know what's come over him, but he's up in the tombs living with the dead. And people's tried to help him. And people's tried to mentor to him. And people's tried to help him out. And they bound him with chains." Y'all know the story. Y'all know the story of the man named Legion. They've tried to help him. And everything that they've done couldn't help him. "Mr. Zacchaeus, I ain't got your money. And I don't know when I'm going to get your money." Mr. Zacchaeus says to the woman, "Well, ma'am, I'm sorry about your bad look, but your taxes are due. I'll be back in a few weeks." And he moves on and he goes about his business and he goes to another door and he gets his money and he goes to another door and he gets his money and he finally comes to another door and he knocks on the door. And the man comes to the door and he comes to the door with tears in his eyes, broken, beat down, broken. And when he gets there, he says, "Mister, it's time for taxes to be paid." He said, "Look, man, I ain't got your tax money." He said, "I'm fixing to have to pay for a funeral." Zacchaeus kind of bows his head and he said, "But your taxes are due." He said, "I don't have your money. Come with me." And he takes Zacchaeus into his house and he goes back to the back room, the pink painted room. And he says, "You see, here lays my daughter, 12 years old, and she's laying dying. They say there ain't nothing else they can do for her. She's going to die. I ain't got your money. I got to pay for a funeral. You may as well go about your business." So Zacchaeus leaves after he tells him, your money's due. I'll be back in a few weeks. And he collects some more money from door to door to door. And along his way, he meets a woman. He meets a woman who has an issue. And he goes to the woman and he knocks on her door, and you can tell she's tired too. Life's tough. She's had this issue for 12 years. The world has outcast her. The world has spit her out. The world has chewed her up. The world has beat her down. The world don't want nothing to do with her. She is filthy. She is garbage. She is no count. The world, they don't want nothing to do with her. She says to Zacchaeus, sir, I don't have your money. I spend every dime I've got on every doctor they is in town, and I can't get no help. I can't get no help. Can't nobody fix this. Mr. Zacchaeus says, well, ma'am, I'm sorry about your bad luck, but your taxes are due. And he goes about his business. Church life don't stop because we have a bad time, right? Man, we have a bad time. We have a bad day, and the taxes are still due. A couple of weeks go by. Zacchaeus goes back knocking on the doors. He goes back to the woman's house where the man was in the tombs cutting himself, and nobody could do anything with him. And when he gets there, man, he sees the grass, and it looks like some of that green zoysia grass that's been fertilized real well. The picket fence is painted white. The door is back up like it ought to be. The wife comes to the door, and she says, how can I help you? Man, something's changed. The little kids come up, little rugrats come up, man, they looking healthy. They got some nice shoes on their feet. Man, they're just glowing from ear to ear. The mama's glowing from ear to ear. And next thing you know, here come around the corner, and there's a dude says, hey man, what's going on? Woo, daddy done come home because Jesus has done been there. Jesus done showed up at the house and made a difference in that place. What no man could do for this man, Jesus did. Church, I'm telling you tonight, when you get down on your luck and you can't do nothing about it, take it to Jesus. Carry it to Jesus. She said, here's your money. I tell you what, my husband got a job and a good one. Here's next month's too. Whoo, the difference that God makes. Church, there's been some of you in here tonight that's been down on your luck, that's been down in a place where you didn't know how tomorrow was going to come. You didn't know what was going to take place tomorrow. You didn't know how ends were going to meet, but God showed up, and somehow, some way, the bill got paid. It got made. It worked out. The husband came home. There's been some broken marriages in a place as big as this, and God come in and fixed it. I've seen it. Glory to God. Don't forget what God has done for you. Remember what God has done in your life. He makes all the difference in the world. All the difference in the world. Zacchaeus says, wow. That's one of them jaw-dropping moments. Wow. He goes down to the next door. He knocks on Jairus' door. Jairus comes walking up to the door and he says, hey, Mr. Zacchaeus, I've been expecting you. Mr. Zacchaeus says, how's your daughter? He said, oh, she's just fine. He says, she's just as fine as she's ever been. He said, I guess you've come here tonight expecting a little money, aren't you? He said, yes, sir, I am. He said, well, here you go. I'll be glad to pay you because I didn't have to buy no casket. I didn't have to pay for no funeral. There was a man came by. Mr. Zacchaeus says, who are you talking about? He said, a man named Jesus stopped by. He said, there was a man named Jesus stopped by. He knew that I had a problem before I even knew I had a problem. And he came by. Mr. Zacchaeus' jaw dropped again. Jesus guy something. Church, when I look out amongst this congregation here, I've seen people with bad reports. I've seen people with a tumor report, big as a fist, get hands laid on them, and go back to the doctor and it'd be clear. Nothing but Jesus. I've seen people who couldn't lay down a bottle, couldn't lay it down, place it in Jesus' hand and never pick it up again. Church, I've seen that in this church. That's why I'm here tonight, to tell you to remember what God has done for you. Don't never take your eyes off the prize and off of what Jesus has done in your life. We must remember and not get complacent. Zacchaeus said, "Wow, thank you, Mr. Jairus." And he goes on to the next house. He knocks on the door. And here comes this woman. But she ain't no just no certain woman no more. She ain't no just certain woman no more. She said, "Let me tell you what's happened to me." He said, "I think I already know." She said, "Let me tell you what happened to me. The world threw me out. The world didn't want nothing to do with me. The world said I was filth and garbage and trash and dirty and was unfit to even be in society. Well, let me tell you something. I pressed through the crowd. I walked through the crowd. I didn't care what the crowd thought. I didn't care what the crowd said. I saw a man walking through the crowd, and I made my way to him, and I got down on my knees, and I reached out, and I touched the hem of his garment, and he made me whole." That's what Jesus did for me. He didn't call me no certain woman no more. He called me daughter. Daughter of an almighty God. He said, she said, "I ain't just no woman no more. I'm a child of God." All because of Jesus coming by. Ooh. I titled this message tonight, "The God of Possible." Because that's who we serve. We serve a God of possible. The Bible told us in verse 3, it says that Zacchaeus, he was a publican in verse 2. And it says, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was. He didn't know who Jesus was, but he had heard about Jesus from knocking on them doors, from going place to place. He had seen the miracles that Jesus had done. He had seen what God could do. He saw God take a little girl who was about to die and raise her from the dead. He saw Jesus take a man who was out in the tombs living amongst the dead and bring him back home and clean him up and clean that house up. He saw a man take a woman that nobody else could fix, that no man can fix. And let me tell you something, if you got a problem today, there ain't no man that can fix it, but God can fix it. God is a God of possible. God is a God who can do all things. There's no situation too big for my God. There's no situation too small for my God. The only problem God can't fix is the one you don't take to him. Whew. That's the only one God can't fix, is the one you don't take to him. Where's your faith in God tonight? The Bible goes on. We're fixing to get serious. Man, we done talked about some healing. We done talked about some things that God can do. We're fixing to get serious now. It goes on. It says, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him and he said to Zacchaeus, "Make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house." Let me tell you something. This man, he was a sinner. This man was a man that the people didn't like. He was stealing money from him, because to be a rich tax collector in these days, he had to be wicked. He had to be unreal. He had to be crazy. They wouldn't have, nobody liked him. Had he walked through that crowd in the midst of all them when Jesus was walking down through there, he would probably left with some bruised up ribs or some blacked up eyes, because they didn't like him, because he was stealing from them. But here Jesus come. He looks up in the tree where Zacchaeus was, and he says, "Hey, buddy, I'm coming to your house tonight." Amen. Man, can you imagine how the rest of the people looked at that? Well, it tells us, you mean he's going to sit down at somebody's house who's a sinner? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Let me tell you something. I've heard that words, "He's too far gone." I've heard them words, "He's done too much." You ever heard that? I've heard it. Not in the eyes of God. Not in the eyes of God. Zacchaeus was a sinner. I see a bunch of them. I look at one every day in the mirror. If God can save a man like me, he can save a man like you. Let me tell you something tonight, church. Don't never take your eyes off the day that Jesus saved you. You need to know the date. 9 years, 10 months, 12 days ago, on this side of that altar, God done a mighty work in my life. I never knew the day that we rode in a Jeep would lead to that day. And all the healing in the world, y'all listen to this, all the healing in the world, all the tumors that were big as a fist that got thrown away, all the cancer that's been defeated, all the marriages that have been put back together, they do not rank nowhere close to salvation. They do not rank nowhere close to forgiveness. They do not rank nowhere close to being called a child of God. They don't rank in none of that, because all of those healings, they are temporary. They will fade away. They will go to the grave. Amen. But there's one thing that will not go to the grave. There's one thing that cannot be taken away from you, and that is being called, thus saith the child of God, and having our name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. That can't nobody take that away from you. Nobody can. We get so excited about healing. We get so excited about God putting things back together, and it's wonderful. It is great. But there ain't nothing better than salvation. There ain't nothing better than getting saved. I shared that this morning with the man with palsy that was let down from the roof. And when they let him down from the roof, what did Jesus say to him? Thy sins be forgiven. I bet you them guys on that roof that tore that tile off, when they looked down there and they're like, what? We brought him here for healing. Well, he got a healing. He got one. He got a heart healing. He got a heart healing first. Church, Beaverton, I'm sorry, but I got to repeat it. He fixes the heart before he fixes the problem. Crystal shared it this morning. Some of y'all don't know me. Some of y'all know everything about me. Crystal shared it this morning with the church this morning. She said, you know what? When all that was broken, I quit praying for you or for us. I started praying for your relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. It goes on. It says, and Zacchaeus stood. Now, they're at Zacchaeus' house. Man, I would love to know the conversations that went on behind those closed doors. But the Bible doesn't give us in detail what took place behind those closed doors. I'd love to hear the conversation that Jesus had with Zacchaeus. It probably went something like this. I came to seek that which is lost and to save them. I came for a sinner just like you. I came for someone who nobody else cares nothing about, who nobody wants anything to do with. I came for you. If you just put your faith in me. I can only imagine what the conversation must have been like with Jesus and Zacchaeus. I can only imagine it. But it said, and Zacchaeus stood and he said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come unto this house. For so much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Why did Jesus come to this earth to walk amongst us? To save your soul. He came to save you. Remember what God has done for you. Remember the day when you was walking and you were lost and you were dying and going to hell, and Jesus came along and he knocked on your door, Brother Tony. He knocked on your door and said, hey, I want you. And you probably had in your mind, I'm too far gone. You are not too far gone. Jesus came to save. Man, we get so tied up in the healings. And I'm thankful for them. I'm thankful for the healings. I still believe in a God who heals. I still believe in a God who restores. I still believe in a God who closes doors and a God who opens doors. I still believe in a God who will take a piece of property that is a swamp and turn it into a house of God. Amen. I still believe in these things. Remember what God has done. But first and foremost, remember who wrote your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Church, there's a whole lot of folks in this world that's dying and going to hell. We come here tonight for revival, to get restored. You can't put a re in front of nothing unless it's already happened. So somewhere along the way, if you're going to be revived, you had to be alived. I don't even know if I said that right. Church, it's time to get on fire for the Lord. Nine years, 10 months, 12 days ago, God made a difference in my life, in my wife's life, in my mama's life, in my daddy's life, in my daughter's life, in my son's life. He made a difference. If I don't want this to be about me, but it's right now, it's got to be for a moment. If we ever take that moment and get complacent in it, we've entered a dangerous place. We are called to be the hands and feet of Jesus. We are called to share the gospel. And if we've gotten complacent, well, I'm just happy where I'm at. I'm just happy doing me. We may walk right past that person that needs to hear Jesus the most and miss an opportunity today for somebody else's name to be written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. The Bible tells us in Psalm 77, it says, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old, and I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of all thy doings. Let me tell you something, church. When you've been in presence of Almighty God, there's a change that comes on you. There's a change that comes on you. I don't know what your change was, but I know what mine was. He put a voice in my mouth that won't hush. He put a love in my heart not to please my wife, not to please my mom and daddy. I used to try to please you, brother. I didn't tell y'all the rest of the story of that Jeep that we was riding in. But I'm going to. That day when he come down the road, I was having one of them good old cold long neck beers when he come down the road. And I said, uh-oh, here comes the preacher. Some of y'all have done that too. Uh-oh, here comes the preacher. And when he got in that Jeep, and we went off that bank, and he said, woo. He did. He said, woo. There was one of them long necks rolled out from underneath my seat. And I said, woo. I said, woo, don't let the preacher see that beard. I don't want to hear it. I fell in love with Jesus. I ain't hiding nothing from the preacher. I fell in love with Jesus who set me free from that alcohol. I no longer try to please the preacher. I no longer try to please mom and daddy. I no longer try to walk into the church hiding stuff. Because I fell in love with Jesus. I want to please the one who set me free. If you're trying to live a life pleasing man, you are most men miserable. You are miserable. When you fall in love with Jesus and you're able to let that stuff down because you're walking so close with Him, man, it is freedom. It is freedom. Remember what the Lord has done for you. Church, I go back and I've been remembering so much about times leading up to this moment. I never thought that the day Riley Cagle was, man, y'all need to come down there to Union Chapel. What's going on? We're going to this place over at Hamilton. Thank you, Riley. You're here tonight for a purpose. God's got you here tonight for a reason. You may have come here tonight. Oh, Brother Rusty's preaching. I ain't heard him preach in a long time. You come for the wrong reason. If you came for any other reason tonight than to hear from Jesus Christ, you came for the wrong reason. But in a crowd this size, there's somebody that's got a problem. There's somebody that's hiding something from somebody trying to be a people pleaser. There's possibly somebody in here tonight whose marriage is falling all to pieces. And you're walking through that door every Sunday morning, smiling, shaking the preacher's hand, saying, man, everything's great. There's possibly somebody in here tonight who's got a bad report from the doctor and you ain't told nobody. You don't want to talk about it. Man, take it to Jesus. Take it to Jesus. We can go all around this room tonight. And I'd say about 90% of us could say, man, when Jesus come by, He done a miracle in my life. I believe we could go around this room tonight and 90% of us would say, man, if it wasn't for Jesus, I'd be in a different place. I'd be in a different place. I know where I'd be. As Brother Burt would say, I'd be in a fix. Without any hope. But through Jesus, there is hope. What is it that makes us hold on to those issues that we have? When we look across the pew at somebody who we have seen Jesus take care of, why we want to hold on to our own? When we look all around the room and we read all through the Bible of what Jesus has done for people, and yet we take our problems. That's my problem. I'll fix it. It's just exactly what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to wallow in your problem. He wants to beat you up in your problem. He wants to get you in your problem to the point where this is all you really want to do. Man, that ain't living. It's not living. Would you take them to Jesus tonight? Would you take them to Him? Why wait till you get to the point where you're so beat down that you don't even want to live? What are you talking about, brother? I've been there. I've been to the point I didn't want to live. I cussed the sunlight when it came up. That's what the devil will do to you. But God will put a joy in that heart. Y'all, BJ, I want to use you for example just a minute. You ain't got to get up. Okay. Have y'all ever seen how this man comes into this place? Hey, y'all. Hey, man. You doing all right? Yeah. You doing good? Yeah. Hey, man. Hey, brother, how you doing? Beans is kind of swagging, but it looks good. Hey, man. Yeah. Hey, if y'all ever seen the excitement in this man's face? When he comes into this place, was not always like that. Was not always like that. God made a change in this man's life. God made a change. I can keep pointing. I can keep making examples, but I ain't going to. Why would you not want that? Why would you not want that joy and that peace and that excitement in your life? And I ain't scared to die. I'm not scared to die. I'm scared of the dying process. I'm not scared of dying because I know what's on the other side. Heaven is on the side, the other side. Man, we just sang the song, Beulah Land. Oh, how beautiful it must be. We get to see those who are not sitting here with us. We get to have a glad reunion day one day. Man, I look all across this church and I see faces that I don't see. And how beautiful heaven must be. We're about to have an altar call. If you're holding on to something tonight that's weighing you down, that you've been trying to fix, you need to bring it. If you've gotten to a point in your life with God where you've just gotten complacent and you're just going through the motion tonight, you need to bring it. God, light a fire in my soul. Light a fire in me. Light a fire in me like it was the day I received you. Set a fire down in my soul where when I wake, I think about you. When I walk, I think about you. When I go to bed, I think about you. In everything that I do, I think about you. Jesus ought to be the number one love of your life. Crystal knows she's second. Jesus is first. Do you need to do business with Jesus tonight? Somebody in here does. There needs to be a fire lit in somebody tonight. This altar is open as we pray. Father God, we come to you tonight just as humbly as we know how. Lord, I thank you for the word that you give tonight. Lord, I thank you for the miracles, Lord, that you have showed us throughout your word. But God, most of all, I thank you for that forgiveness that you give us, that you rain down upon us, that mercy and grace that you bestow upon us. God, I thank you for your son, Jesus, who died upon the cross of Calvary, who set us free. God, I thank you that our names are written down in the Lamb Book of Life, that, Lord, that when death does come our way, Lord, that we know there's a home in heaven. But I pray tonight, Lord, I pray tonight for that one in this house whose marriage is broken, for that one in this house who can't lay it down. Father God, for that one in this house who's burdened to the depths of their soul that can't sleep at night. Lord, I pray for that one tonight who's gotten complacent with you, who the fire has just dwindled down. God, I just pray that you would revive us all. Lord, that you would draw us all unto you, Lord. Lord, I pray tonight you touch hearts. Lord, if there's one in this house that does not know you and a free pardon of sin, there's one in this house that does not know the joy and the hope that I'm speaking of tonight, Lord, I pray that you tug on those strings tonight and you draw them to you. Lord, we place all this in your hands and we leave it there. Father God, do your work, do your business. In Jesus' name, amen.